fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One more day.
One more day until September 1st. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri as we have a mashup Man Down Wednesday with On The Clock with Aaron Green. And of course, as you know, that when Wednesday come on, we mash the two shows together and have one show where we dissect what's trending and what is happening inside the news. I'm not sure if anyone knows, but there's a hurricane out there. I'm not just out there. It's just next to us in Florida. And I wonder, I'm going to ask Aaron, have you heard any kind of continuous warning or updates by the powers that be on terms of what we should be doing in terms of how to stay prepared? I'm wondering, want to know if that conversation is still being heard, resounding, Bahamians aware and ready for any pop-up hurricanes.
I noted earlier at the start of and before the start of the hurricane season that the relevant agencies and authorities, they did a good job of hitting the media, hitting the airwaves, and alerting people that the hurricane season is about to begin. The continuous campaign has sort of dropped off, and no, I haven't. I don't think that it's sufficient, but I think that there's a whole missing element, right? Like, the people who are responsible for these things do not acknowledge that we live in a hurricane zone. It's not like a hurricane isn't a tourist. Mm. Like they can come, but maybe they don't come. They can come. Hurricanes coming.
Be sure they're coming.
This is a hurricane zone. And hurricane preparedness and a hurricane preparedness culture should consume this place, right? Like how every WhatsApp group and every social media group is a center for Christian experience. You get prayers in the morning and scriptures going out all the time. That's the same way that we should be engaging around hurricane preparedness. It should be how we breathe, like every other place in... Anyway, I don't want to
But perhaps generally we as Bahamians are more prepared than most. That it is, because we are in a hurricane belt, a hurricane zone, every Bahamian have canned items stored. Every Bahamian have flashlights someplace. Maybe not batteries, but everyone is loosely prepared. But then again, why would there be rush at the food store last minute when you hear a hurricane coming? So that may negate that
right,
whole argument.
I was going to say that that dynamic has shifted post-pandemic. People don't have the, the disposable, call disposable income, the reserve, the spare income to stock, to continually stock their pantries, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody expected, although an announcement was made in October of last year in the midst of, as we headed towards the end of the hurricane season, nobody was prepared for the impact of the fuel surcharge increase policy on their monthly budgets. Nobody was prepared. And so it's unreasonable to think or to say, well, people know. They know. They know what to do. They may know what to do. It doesn't mean that they have the resources to realize those action plans or those preparation plans. That just everything has changed.
I just got a picture of an imperial pigeon. Never seen this pigeon in the Bahamas before, actually. Never. That's a odd-looking bird.
It was a beautiful bird. They are very, very industrious workers, right? They carry their food with them. They prepare, right? That's a perfect example, a great model for Bahamians. This pigeon right here, that's what they call that, the imperial pigeon, right?
Yeah.
That pigeon eats Brazilian holly, a.k.a. peppercorn. It's invasive. What they do is they plant food in preparation for their hunger.
I wonder how it tastes.
I don't know, Mr. Nuri.
I wonder if it tastes like hush-hush.
Good morning, caller. You're on the
air. Good morning, Ms. Green. Ian, how you doing?
I am good, thank you. How you do?
Brother Nuri.
Blessings to you.
How can y'all speak about the pigeons? I didn't say anything about the king of the pigeons, Mr. Audley Kemp.
Tell us a story, sir.
Man, Audley Kemp had at least, he was good for close to 200 pigeons.
In front of his place on East Street.
Okay.
And he would take these pigeons home with him every afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, catch this trick. What he usually do, he go to a Purdy bakery and get the outdated bread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had a station wagon. He would break up the bread and put it on the top of the station wagon when he's leaving his liquor stores on East Street.
Mm-hmm.
And he would ride to Village Road. And those pigeons, anybody from East Street will tell you, those pigeons would follow him home to Village Road every day and come back with him every morning.
Look at that, eh?
He lived right through him, both him and the deputy to the new governor general now, Ruby and Cooper Darling. Both of them lived right through the same corner.
Okay.
So we used to ride our bicycles.
Uh-huh.
To follow them, to see that the pigeons really used to go home with him for Drew. And he bring them back every morning. Now, if your pigeon get hooked up with his pigeons, they gone. You got to get them back.
Because they join a new crew.
Yeah, they hook up with him because they're getting feed every day. They're getting well taken care of.
Did he use his pigeons as homing pigeons? Like he would use them to send messages?
I don't know. He just go to them. The crowd just got bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Right there on East Street.
Because I haven't a problem with my...
Darlings, you know about that.
Okay, I haven't a problem with my communication systems, and I'm wondering if I should revert back to the carrier pigeon.
No. You will never get that message.
Okay.
Listen, I hear Yuri's always talking about how the pigeons taste. Boy, if you get two Audley Kemp pigeons, you get a meal.
You get a meal. Good pigeon. Oh, okay.
You got a bony pigeon there. You get good pigeon, you can get through that.
Why, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one last question before you go.
Yes.
Do you think we could reintroduce pigeon into our diets, considering the global food and supply chain crisis that's looming?
Pigeons are really a pet, you know.
Okay, I got you.
You have some family islands. You're not allowed to have pigeons on. You have an island. You have a key called Black Point.
Yeah.
You can have pigeons on Black Point.
Why not?
No. I think somebody tried it one time. Man, they get rid of them fast.
Why though?
Because a lot of them save water from the roof. And you know the pigeon is do everything.
Oh, yeah. Problematic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the pigeons, but the Bark of Dove, we could try the Bark of Dove in our diet.
I like Bark of Dove too.
Hey, they could.
Okay.
Some nice big Bark of Dove, plenty big onion and sweet pepper.
Yes.
Some plenty salt and pepper.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Why, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I know y'all talking the truth because my daddy did feed me pigeon one time. Pigeon, he catch himself. Mm-hmm. He shoot himself. Yeah. Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Are you gone? I can hear you, caller, but you're not there. Call again once. Call again twice.
Let me repeat the numbers to that caller just now. I don't know. That's 325-4316. If you're having issues with 325-4316, you can always try 323-6232, 325-4259. Again, 242-300-5720 for people in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence, toll free.
Okay, I see the phones light up again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now, caller?
Yes, I can hear you, Mr. Nui.
Go ahead.
Crown pigeon. Do you know where they nest and where they fly to eat?
No, I do not know where they nest.
They nest in the northwest tip of Honduras. And every summer they leave from the northwest to go down to South Honduras. And the bush that they eat is the same bush, what we call poison bush. There's some little brownish berries on it. Mm. They fly down, and the people up in the north, when there's pigeon shooting season, there's a season that they have especially just for white crown pigeon. Mm-hmm. In the north, they sit on the beach like Pleasant Bay and so forth, Morgan's Bluff, and they count the pigeons as they fly around going down south so they know when the pack is down there. They go down there to feed, but they nest their babies and stuff up in the north.
Okay.
And they go down to feed on the babies. That's when the pigeon hunters go down there. They got licensed guns in New Providence and everything, but we don't hunt in New Providence, but you only have guns for hunting. Nobody in Nassau go hunting in Nassau. They go to Andrews to hunt the bull hog and the pigeons. Now, Ms. Green, before you go, there's a particular day that I will remember every year.
Okay.
That is June the 7th. June the 7th, 1966. That is also June the 7th is Brave Davis Boyd Day. Wow. That is the day also when my 15-year-old son was killed on Labor Day up on Shirley Street.
Mm-hmm.
On Brave Davis Boyd Day. And do you know that my friend Brave was also the lawyer for the defendant? Have a good day.
Okay.
This time, Sparky, I thought you was going to say Abba Day, but I appreciate why that day is so special to you or holds a place in your heart. Mr. Newry.
Yeah.
The balancing act.
Yes, go.
So, Tenille Burrows was on the show yesterday talking about the launch of her candidacy for Burrows for Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd ask a question that I ask all candidates and politicians, the question about balance. How will you, as an MP or a cabinet minister, balance your obligations to various people and entities in the governance system? Your duty to the Constitution and the rules of Parliament or the House of Assembly, your duty to your party or your personal political principles, your duty to your constituency, your duty to your donors, your duty to the people. I wanted to give another example of that in action, right? Or an example of someone attempting to balance all of these obligations. And I thought of, immediately last night, Mr. Fred Mitchell.
Okay, what happened to Fred Mitchell?
He is not only an MP for Fox Hill.
Okay.
He's also a cabinet minister in the Davis administration.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a chairman
he's
for the PLP party.
Busy man.
There's a lot of balancing that he has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in many, many times I have raised that particular issue in interrogation of the wider political or governance issues that he addresses.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, how is Fred Mitchell, MP, cabinet minister and chairman, standing up as an MP to say, hey, my constituents are very concerned about what appears to be a march to a cashless society, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're very concerned. It's very strong words, a very strong position, right? And he brings that to the table as an MP for Fox Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But rarely does he reference it. He is also a sitting cabinet minister who partakes in discussions and decision-making and policy creation around financial and tech services and banking services. But he's also the chairman of the party that ultimately, while the chairman doesn't sit in cabinet, the chairman helps to direct the policies presented to the administration by the party.
Mm.
Right? And how does Mr. Mitchell balance those? And how does the public see his engagement on issues like these? But more importantly, are other candidates, potential politicians and political advocates and stakeholders taking this into account when they interrogate these issues?
Personally, I think we have bastardized what an MP is. And because we culturally are used to MPs financially and emotionally supporting us as constituents, it's going to take a real effort, even with local government. I think that one of the reasons why local government isn't coming forward is because of how we are culturally connected to our MPs and what we expect of our MPs. So even if you create a local government system,
mm-hmm.
the community will still gravitate to the MP who would then find the need to be involved in the local government issue.
You could see I'm eager to speak. Who is responsible for the culture of patronage, though? Is it the constituents or is it a politician who has taken advantage of the citizen. Because I say this.
Go ahead.
People turn to politicians and MPs for charity. Because those very same MPs are not providing the structural reform necessary to improve people's lives. If the hospital worked properly, you wouldn't have 1,000 cookouts and raffles every weekend for medical costs. Right? If
and I hear you. Even though I would respond that we have the better hotel, I mean the hotel, hospital, in this hemisphere, by substituting United States and Canada.
Hold on, which one? Right? U.S. or Doctors Hospital or PMH?
Between the two.
Because you forget Grenada. Grenada is a center for medical education.
Every so often we question medicine. Whether they have a medical school in Grenada. And in fact, if they question their degree.
Ooh.
We no longer accept
Hold
Grenada
on, when you say we, do you mean UWE? Because if you mean University of the West Indies, I'll take you up on this argument. But you can't mean the people at PHA.
You cannot transfer no Grenada degree to the USA, even the Bahamas.
No,
we don't accept that.
There are programs in Grenada.
I just said we ain't accepting it, dude.
You mean in the Bahamas?
That's because we more qualified. We sophisticated. Our hospital is a regional training institute. We have the technology there. Mind you, it might be still rough, but we must remember that we are a developing nation.
I'm certain that Grenada has a direct relationship with American medical universities and training centers.
They keep on questioning them people down there, man. We have for this region, we have the better hospital, despite all of the issues.
You think that's why we don't see any real improvements at the hospital? Because somebody in an office saying, suck their teeth, don't mind them. We still got the best hospital in the region.
And mind you.
Don't mind them people dying all the time.
Mind you, despite the issues we have, even our response to the murders and the stabbings and all these blood work type crimes, our response by our doctors still is remarkable. One of the better ones, again, for this region. And we have the technology in contrast to the other Caribbean nations. And I think that even when we critique, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't critique and criticize, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't demand better, I'm just saying that we need to acknowledge that we have one of the better hospitals in this hemisphere.
I wish you had said that while Brave was still the chair, CARICOM.
Yeah.
Because what we have ain't wait nothing.
You need to go to the Caribbean and buck your toes.
Oh, no, I can tell you where I'm prepared.
Or try to go to a U.S. hospital without insurance and see what happens. You know? You could go to Princess Margaret. It may not get served right now, but you can get served. See, certain things we need to appreciate as Bohemians. Say, boy, yeah.
I appreciate how my friend died in the waiting room at PMH.
Yeah, but at least they had a waiting room.
Good morning, Mr. Newry. It's a pleasure to see you once again. I got another little thing I want to throw on the table right now.
Go ahead.
Do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing that on the list of things to be banned. Mm-hmm. I'm not into banning things. I really ain't into banning. Like books, we don't ban books, right? But there are certain things we should ban.
The school's ready yet?
We should ban politicians with triple barrel names, A. B. We should ban anybody with the last name Ferguson from being in any union ever again.
Okay, I agree.
That's
with
on
that.
The top of the list. Mm-hmm. And here are some three constructs or phrases that we need to ban in the Bahamian culture.
Go ahead.
One is social promotion.
Social promotion.
Yeah.
And I iffy about that, even though I understand why you're saying. Because I went to a public school.
Yeah.
Right? I went in a public school in a system where they used to repeat you.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a primary school, T.A. Thompson Primary, which was on top of the hill, Blue Road there.
Yeah.
So when I reached grade 6, right, at 10 years old, we had 15-year-olds who was inside grade 6 with me. And there was an issue. Should we let them stay till they're 16 in grade 6 or push them out? So we pushed him out to Donald Davis. You're going to take this 60-year-old boy to Donald Davis. So I hear you saying there shouldn't be a need for social promotion.
No, we just have to remove it entirely.
My point is...
It's matriculated all the way up into government.
Those 16-year-olds wreak havoc
in our grade six because they was thinking like six. Their hormones was different. Can't have no 16-year-old around 10-year-olds, and especially during fighting time. It wasn't fair. You should see my shirt. You should see my shirt after school.
So back to the next thing on the list.
Here's
what I'm adding to the list of constructs and sayings that need to be banned in the Bahamas. Do as I say, not as I do. And here's why. Because the thinking of a generation manifests in the behavior of the following generations. That's why. Right?
I hear you. Go ahead.
Do as I say, not as I do is very dangerous because the thinking of a generation manifests in the behavior of the following generations. See, it don't matter what you say to your children, what you thinking and how you behave is what takes root in their consciousness. And that's what they develop into culture, right? So what was the first one? Social promotion. Do as I say, not as I do. And then the third one is hope is a weapon. You try to throw that at me today. Hope is a weapon that can be wielded against you.
So
is what we have
you
to
still haven't
it.
Tell me, inform me, what should we do to stop, prevent social promotion? Especially in our limited resources. Where
we don't have limited resources.
You don't have limited resources?
No.
So you think that we can keep someone in the sixth grade for a period
of
time?
No, that's not what we're going to use the resources for.
So what
we're going to use the resources for is extracting students with special needs. Well, students who are failing, we extract them to assess them. Mm-hmm. Once we've assessed them and determined what the issue is, then we have special units for them until we could put them back into the regular school system.
But we know that, okay, we have the school on East Street where the old Our Lady's school is, and I forget the name of the school, right? Whose job it is to assess children when they get recommended by the school to say something is this child is having
the resources
issue.
Need to go there.
Yes,
we need more assessments,
and their resources is overwhelmed at this present time.
Right, they that's where the resources need to go.
So my concern is, I'm not sure if we'll ever have enough money in order to do that. We are limited in
you
resources.
See what
limited
we had,
in teachers.
You see what we had money to do for independence.
You didn't like the
festivities? I don't like the way that the funds were allocated, particularly since ain't nobody could tell us yet how much funds were allocated into what. That's the part about
soon,
it I don't
Aaron,
like.
Soon, Aaron. You always rushing things. You from Russia.
I from the Bahamas, the home of the rush.
My point is we are limited on our resources. We're limited in teachers. I mean, the number.
No, we're not limited in our resources.
We have a
we are limited
right now,
in our political
number,
will.
A number of schools do not even have teachers at this day when school is started. I just see an advertisement begging for
from a private school.
Can you imagine begging for at least about 20 teachers to be filled immediately, right? I only can imagine what's happening inside the public school system, the family island system. And I hear you that we need these things now. I'm just saying that at this present time,
see,
I don't think the resources
are there.
There's
a question that needs to be asked, right? Because that's a particular situation. A couple of days before school is opening, you're in that period where you have the orientation for senior students and new students. And you come up with a list of about 20 teachers you need right now, right? The problem, I don't think, sits with the availability of teachers. I think there needs to be an investigation into why you found yourself in this position. Did you have a list of teachers who, at the beginning, at the opening of school, realized they don't like the terms of their contract, and so they all en masse withdrew? Is that what is happening? Do we need protections for teachers? Is there reasons why teachers are pulling out of the school system? Is it unsafe for teachers? Have we reached a point where the teachers say, look here, look here, look here, I know Bahamas culture, children must suffer, but I as a teacher, why am I the teacher suffering with the children? Is it right? Is that why people, thank you, I didn't see.
Yes, we have a caller here. Let's engage the caller and see their opinion on these things. Go ahead, caller, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning again.
Good morning again.
Listen, you guys are talking about one of you guys mentioned the lack of resources and so on and so forth. And Aaron mentioned the amount spent on the independence celebration. Well, they have a new way of collecting funds now where they are now charging you if you're caught towing a hot dog cart or boat or jet ski, whatever it is, just towing something behind your vehicle is now a new charge if you're not carrying a commercial driver's license.
You need to get a commercial driver's license, yes.
I remember having the discussion about the changes to the commercial driver's license, and I invited people to come on and talk about it. I think actors in the industry were concerned about, I guess, saying the wrong thing in the face of decision makers and policy makers, right? But this is why I wanted to have these conversations, because what are the implications of the policy change? Who do they affect? And it doesn't mean that you just stop the policy change, but it means that you may have to expand it. So that I, mom, who was able to, my grammy living in the States, working in the States, find one cheap hot dog cart, she's able to fold it up and send it on one box on the boat, and I can try a thing and get some money to try make some money. And all of a sudden, I got to go get a whole commercial driver's license to tow a 4x4
car. So you don't hurt anyone while you're driving.
But let me share something with you. I'm cool with that, Mr. Nuri. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. I understand the need for it. What I don't understand is why, in all of the research that I did, I didn't see one piece of notice that said, hey, if you drive in a hot dog cart, or if you tow in a cart, if you tow in your landscaping equipment on a cart behind your vehicle, you now need a new license. Ain't nobody said anything to anybody.
No.
You're criminalizing people.
But the police said they're given leeway. And calling a call back.
The police gave plenty leeway.
Said that they'll stop you, they'll warn you, but letting you know, hey, don't do it no more. Let's go to this caller too. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hi, Suso. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. But I'm calling to correct you about your information on St. George's.
Where's St. George's?
Grenada.
The college. I reason why I mentioned that, right, because we had a number of doctors trying to transfer to Princess Margaret Hospital, and they were rejected. I'm just saying, I know what happened here.
Okay. Well, let me explain it to you.
That you don't okay. Explain to me why it was rejected?
Let me explain that to you. St. George's is a U.S. medical school in the Caribbean. Okay? Just how you would have students who would go to UWI who may not be able to transfer their credits to work in the U.S. They would have to get their credentials to work in the U.S. It's the same for Grenada. You go to school in Grenada, you would do your clinicals in either the U.S., Canada, or Europe. And if you come back here, you just have to do the, you just have to get your credentials to work here in the Caribbean. So you don't have to question their degree. They have all of the accreditations that any medical school would have. And when 65% of their medical students are U.S. students, that's getting financial aid. And the U.S. government will not give financial aid to a school that's not accredited. Mm-hmm. 1% of all of the doctors in the U.S. went to St. George's. 4% of all of the doctors in New York went to St. George's in Grenada. Okay? Hello?
Thank you.
We're listening.
Did I can't hear you.
Go ahead. We hear you.
Yes. So did you get all of that?
Yes.
And if you would like to get some more information on Grenada, you can come to Atlantis on the 16th of September. Grenada and Emory University will be there and discussing allied and health care. Healthcare and allied health care.
Thank you.
Okay? You're welcome.
Tell them, reach out to The Guardian and book a show so that we could expand on this conversation and the opportunities that are available for people in the Caribbean.
I'll be there on Monday.
Okay.
I'll be there on Monday. Thank you, Aaron.
All right.
Yes.
Bye, Cecil.
It's a pleasure. I just know, I want to know if it gets accepted here in the Bahamas. That's what I want to know. But let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes. It's me calling back.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I got cut off. But like I was asking about, you said that the hot dog cast, Mr. Neary said you don't want nobody to get run over. Can you tell me of any incidents where somebody got run over?
Listen, let's not go there, because I see people with hot dog cart and trailers behind their car doing the most foolishness on the road, because they forget that they have an extra, you know, they forget that they are towing something, and they slip into this place where they think it's just the car they're driving. So that's not it. My question is, it's not a matter of whether it requires a special license. My question is about the publication of that information and how not sharing information properly will criminalize people, because people are breaking the law, right? And here's what's happened in the instance of the turn left on red. The information was not published properly.
Properly.
Right? So now here the police are, they're saying, well, I mean, everybody, like, they're not ticketing people, they're not stopping people. It's against the law, you know. It's against the law to turn left on red. And I want to say to taxi drivers who are at risk of having their plates revoked, I mean, in a real world, you would be at risk of that. It's against the law to turn
right
on red.
But
at any place in the Bahamas.
I said that to say that
yeah.
the information I saw on social media where they said that they're using this week to identify persons and to explain to them what is what.
Yeah.
However, he said as of next week, they're going to start finding persons.
Yeah.
In a way in the world, you can find everybody in the scene, because somebody may be off on vacation this week.
Yeah.
You understand? You see, so I think they need more time before they start finding persons for that offense, because that's not fair to the general public. I don't know where all these new rules and new ways to make money popping up all of a sudden.
Well, you know, sponge money actually done. So they got to figure out new economic strategies. But I think the most...
I guess there's a part of the no taxation act.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to figure it out. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. You're on air.
Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Neary.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, Ms. Green, this situation with the traffic is very mindless, because, you know, it's in the States, there's not a problem with it. And so all it was is really when an oncoming traffic is coming, you don't make that left turn. But, you know, like a thief to some tape. Make it make sense. Nothing's supposed to make sense in this country, but I wanted to touch on Sea Island. No, I wanted to touch on two things quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
The essay competition amongst the high school students as it relates to caste society.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very intrigued by that. And I really was hoping to really see and read some of those. And maybe they could read the prize-winning one on the radio, so I can see where the young people minds are.
Yes.
They're not into people my age. They're trying to get us off the stage now, because they already encaged the young people minds to embrace this BS, right? But anyone who can't see the cons of a total caste society is a fool. Now, next, Miss Green, you know why I just follow the science?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a scientific ombudsman or journalist in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I see CA Nui kind of trying to be humorous with the healthcare system, comparing us to others. The healthcare system is not defined by how a building looks. It is defined by the healthcare service. Now, for a couple of years now, the media was trying to dumb me down on the radio about the science, even though I was correct about basically everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I see now is as it relates to the hospital, you know, Grandma's always speaking about it, right?
Yeah.
We're looking at the service. We're looking at the turnover time. We're looking at the medical armamentarium that they have in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, since I was on, and he gave some good advice as to get rid of the mosquitoes. And so, that is what we should be doing instead of wearing with dengue. I'm quite concerned about the hemorrhagic strain, right?
Yes.
But I've been noticing that, see, I was following this stuff for years. I'm noticing that there's always a problem with any virus that has strains or subtypes, you know, and woe to those who do not believe in the biological weapons program. I'm just saying, the level of ignorance is sickening for us. So for CA Nui to suggest that we are better off than some countries, you still have to look at the medical, the tools that they have in place and what we are lacking,
mm-hmm.
and have an overall review of a medical pundit and then make the decision.
I
not
got
the
you.
Fact that we may be better off than some people, but the hospital is lacking in many ways. Even what I'm saying is most people don't understand the basic, even the spacing of patients, the distance between patients is paradigm in pathogenicity.
Yep.
52, I mean, it's so many things to be had. We need a scientific journalist, much more educated than I am, much more knowledgeable, I mean, much more experienced to show people them. It's just the same thing with Cancer Society. You have students writing on something that they know nothing about. And I'd really like to hear what they have to say about it because they're the ones, see, they've already engineered them to accept technology and laugh about it and make it like as if it's going to save humanity. They're really lost.
And the tagline is, oh, y'all just don't understand because y'all old. Oh, y'all just don't understand because you don't want to give up power.
But in the future, we may have to privatize the hospital and have persons pay for better service.
Stop right there.
I'm just saying the that problem capitalism...
The problem isn't that people...
In the
sorry,
US,
I'm running
they
hard,
solve
no,
that problem.
Listen, I'm running hard. The problem isn't that people aren't paying for the service. A part of the problem is that for many years, the hospital wasn't billing people. And for those same many years, the insurance industry didn't say, hey, there's no invoices coming in. Mm-hmm. We need to call the hospital and find out why they're not sending us invoices. Nobody did that.
We wanted to go to the hospital for free. That's just it. We just want to go to the hospital for free. We don't expect to pay
you ever. You ever been to one of these government services to pay a bill and they tell you you can't pay the bill unless you have a physical copy of the bill in your hand?
You want them to have full so anyway, we got to go to commercial break. Let's go to the commercial break. Caller, we do see you. If you can hold on. And if you can't hold on, come, just call us immediately after the break and we'll put you on first, okay? This is Guiding Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri and we shall be right back.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
But it was serious. Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Calling all junior and senior high school students. You could win a brand new iPad for the new school year. Enter the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition. All you have to do is write a strong and convincing essay on the topic, What Does Going Digital Mean to You? For junior high students, your word limit is 1,000 words. For senior high students, your word limit is 1,500 words. To enter, email your essay along with your name, school, and grade level, as well as your parents' contact information to alpha@platoalpha.com by Friday, September 22nd. The winners will be announced on Guardian Radio on September 29th. The winner for each category walks away with a brand new iPad. It's the Plato Alpha Design Essay Competition, powered by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Grab your camera, capture the spirit of the Bahamas, and win cash and prizes. Scotiabank, in partnership with the Guardian Media Group, invites all youth, amateur, and professional photographers to enter the Celebrate Bahamas 50 Photography Competition, being held under the theme One Nation, One Legacy, Our Future. With more than $8,000 in cash to be won, snap those photos and send them in by August 30th. Visit guardiantalkradio.com or bs.scotiabank.com to find out how to enter. Let's celebrate our proud nation in photos. Terms and conditions apply.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Okay, school bag, books, pencils, uniform. Oh, Lord. And I got to buy snacks, too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever back-to-school snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And call if you wish, you can call right back and I'll be able, happy to pass you through. As we transition, I still want to have a series of discussion about the cannabis law proposal. Right, I know we were hashing through the religious part, right?
Yeah.
And which sparked all kind of conversations. I see the Rastafarian community has written a formal letter of angst and complaints that and asking for apology. I see there are a number of other religions saying, but what about us in consideration? How can you name a specific religion in the legislation? And of course, we know that this is a proposal and the government is asking for feedback and for consideration. But there's a number of things we need to analyze. And I think that every time we have a show, mm-hmm. we need to pick out a certain segment of it and just hash it out and get feedback and for the people. But I see the call back. Let's connect to that. And then we'll start talking about this marijuana thing again. Go ahead, Coley. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Mr. Nuri, just one question and I'll hang up. I guess what you're saying is true, somewhat true at the hospital with the lack of payments with the people, right? A lot of people expect like the free medical care, but I mean, the government should be able to come. Listen to me, I understand that, but what are we paying what for, Mr. Nuri? That's what I'm saying. Since the introduction of what, have you seen any improvements with the armamentarium post what? I'll hang up and listen. Because, I mean, it's just like we're paying what for nothing.
Look here, VAT is like the debt for nature swap. VAT is to take care of politicians' debt. That's what VAT is for.
The good thing about VAT and the good thing about our democracy and our system is that we have a budget debate. Also, we have...
That's what you call a debate.
I'm just saying the budget lays out all the expenditures. No, that's the people because the political is pontificating and they don't talk about anything other... They talk about everything other than the numbers. But the numbers... are listed out to say, well, we're paying for this. This is expenditure. This is how much we plan to pay. So when you talk about the VAT money, we see where the VAT money gone, you know.
That's where they intend. We don't see where it went.
Monies don't go missing out of our consolidated fund. It don't go unaccounted for. People might misspend it, right? But we know where it gone.
So the point I wanted to make is that after looking at the government, I mean, sorry, Mr. Nuri, I didn't mean to cut you off like that. I realized that I was rude. That was rude of me.
No, Mike, go ahead.
Because I'm not interested in that line of reasoning anymore. But I don't want to be rude. So what I wanted to say, though, was as we shift back to the cannabis policy discussion, there are 11 bills... Right? It's called, okay, let's start here. If you're interested in this discussion, you should go to this website, cannabisbahamas.gov.bs. That's CANNABIS, bahamas.gov.bs. It's a great place to start. On that website, there is a section that lists the related legislation and bills, right? The government intends to create and regulate a cannabis industry. I think the most important word there is industry. But there are 11 related pieces of legislation and bills that come along. It's a compendium of laws that come along with the creation of this new industry. So the first thing I want to say is this, is that it's a lot of work. Not only did you have to look at the list of related legislation and bills, some of these things are amendments, right? So you also have to look at the original bill, right? So you could identify the portion and parts that are being amended and the impact, right? What the amendment changes in the law. So for all of those action groups, all of those NGOs or NPOs that are cannabis related, I suggested you guys, you now form a coalition and you hire a small legal team or you get some law students, right, who can do research for you, right, and access laws, because to truly understand what the government intends and to be able to present an informed opposition or policy suggestions, it's going to take a lot of work. And that's why Mr. Nuri said we would want to break down, right, this thing piece by piece so that we could go through it. Like I say, there are 11 pieces. There's the cannabis, medical cannabis and recognized jurisdictions order 2023, the cannabis bill 2023, cannabis regulations 2023, dangerous drugs amendment bill 2023, dangerous drugs prescription of minimum amounts amendment rules 2023, dangerous drugs application amendment order 2023, health professions amendment to the first schedule order 2023, health professions general amendment regulations 2023, hospitals and healthcare facilities general amendment regulations, pharmacy amendment bill 2023, and rehabilitation of offenders, expunging of records, Indian hemp offenses order 2023. Some of these have already been passed. Some of them are still in the bill stage, right? The House was prorogued, the whole process got to start again. And so that's the first thing. If you're serious about interrogating this process, you got to form a team, strategize, put some money on the table, hire some lawyers, get some law students to assist in your research, and get it going. Because you have to submit your informed position before they get too far in the process. The next thing I wanted to touch on was from our discussion last time and questions around religious exemptions, right? Rastafarian community is the only religious group I see mentioned in the legislation so far. And I had a concern, right? If we had a recent constitutional ruling, right, a ruling that said that Rastafarians do not have a constitutional right to use cannabis as a sacrament or to use cannabis at all, right? How then do you create a religious exemption for that one group? Surely the religious exemption has to be for any religion that partakes in the sacrament as a part of their practice, right? And then how do you say to a group, oh, I have no record of your group doing that? Because that's what's going to happen. Somebody's going to say, it's not discriminatory because we offer the exemption to any religious group that uses cannabis as a sacrament. But we're talking about religion. See, you can't tell me how to worship. You can't tell me who to worship. You can't tell me how to worship once it don't involve sacrificing people. I'm not even sure about animal. Look into the constitutionality of some of the provisions, right? But you can't tell me who to worship and how to worship. And if I say that's a part of my worship, that's a part of my worship. I have a constitutional right to freedom of association, of expression.
Everything can get locked up.
And of creed.
You can't be smoking marijuana. It's illegal. You can get locked up.
You can consume cannabis with the authorization from the relevant ministers, and that exists in law now. Okay? This legislation is to create and regulate an industry.
Let's quickly get to this caller, because you can get locked up, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning again. When we had the Reformation on gambling...
We didn't have a Reformation on... I mean, maybe you're right. You're right. No, you're right. We had a Reformation
on gambling. Now, when we had the Reformation on gambling, it was assumed that Bahamians gambled so much that everybody was going to vote yes for gambling. Just by mistake, a lot of people didn't go to vote because they thought automatically everybody's going to vote yes. But what happened was the majority voted no. Now, the Bahamian people voted no in the final count with the gambling. They spent plenty of money to have the referendum.
Sparky, I'm not sure what that has to do with marijuana.
But let me clarify that.
You're going to explain how they're going to do it?
No, I can clarify what he said. People were called to vote on a question. And the question asked, do you want to regulate web shop gaming? A number of people voted no because they wanted to continue web shop gaming. They didn't want it to be regulated by the state because regulation by the state reduced the winnings.
So that has to do what with marijuana?
I didn't say I was trying to explain that.
I'll be on a marijuana topic.
I'm saying that that's what happened
now
in that
now
space.
I lost with marijuana. When we was talking about marijuana.
You not lost about it. You wasn't paying attention because
I know
you don't
about gambling.
Care.
I want to know about marijuana.
Listen.
Let's go back to
point, the point that I was making was, okay. Right, that you can't give a religious exemption to that one particular group, but especially after a ruling
yes.
that one particular group does not have a constitutional right
a good
to
argument,
consume.
Aaron, and I assume that if any particular religion in the Bahamas that feel grieved, they need to challenge
but
the law.
Here's the next point I want to make very quickly.
It can't
quickly.
Be an individual, though.
I want to... Why not?
Because an individual need to prove that they're an organized religion.
Why? I don't need to be an organized
then
religion.
Then you just get locked up. Don't prove
no,
it
no,
then
no.
and you just
See,
get locked
this
up.
Is why I was concerned about the decision to honor His Excellency Kagame, the President of the Republic of Rwanda, in our national honors. The offerings from the Prime Minister was, well, I went to the country and I was so impressed by the ethics there, right? But here's my concern. You also went to a country that said, hey, you want to have a church? You want to have a religious practice? You want to lead people? You need to have a degree in theology. Now, on one hand, this sounds great. We're going to protect people from unscrupulous religious leaders. Some of the boy them in Africa going to church talking about, come look at my cell phone, I got a picture with me and Jesus. Mm-hmm. Come look at my cell phone, I got Jesus' number. They serious, this is part of their sermon. So you could appreciate the desire to protect citizens from unscrupulous actors, especially when they're connected to international religious bodies that you even have less control and scrutiny over, right?
Mm-hmm.
But who are you to tell me what is a legitimate religion, spiritual experience? I think the state has to rethink the way that they're going to bound this.
The state has already suggested that it has to be an organized religion. And I assume what organized means that you have a charter or a constitution of some sort. And if your religion does not have a charter or constitution, it will not be recognized by the state.
I think that the state is prepared to thwart, to twist, to skew anything to achieve its agenda. They do it all the time. You're going to skew my constitutionally guaranteed rights so that you could look
you
good and
implement. You have a constitutional right to smoke weed.
No, I do have a constitutional right, though, to freedom of association.
You can associate.
Freedom of expression.
You can express yourself.
And protections against discrimination
I
based on
still.
Creed.
But you ain't if you have a right to smoke. That's what I say.
No, I don't. But if you offer the privilege to one religious group, you must offer the privilege
cool
to the
that.
Other religious groups as well.
Just prove that you're a religious group. That's all I'm asking. Show yourself organized.
No, that's the point. That's the point.
We ain't going to know which fly by night and say we start up a religion cult yesterday and we want to be recognized.
That's how the political parties start.
But they get organized and have a charter after a while. Now let's go to this caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, can you hear me? No, hang up. Go ahead. But I hear you, Aaron. I'm not saying I do not. Your point has merit. I understand that other religions should be considered, and I'm sure that would be pushed or change the wording.
No, the point is this: if you extend a privilege
yes.
to one group,
I understand
the privilege must be accessible by other similar groups, but religion is a particular space where you have to be very careful how you attempt to police it.
And I don't believe that the Rastafarian groups at this present time has the right or ability to apply for this benefit, because I'm not sure if they are organized groups by definition with a charter or a constitution defining what their religion is, or registered a religion, right? And until they do that, I don't think they're able to apply for that.
See,
but
I
this is
be,
something that we need to flesh out moving forward.
I would even be fine, like, if you are creating plantation models of your own designed for the Bahamian plantation, I'd be fine with that. But they keep attempting to apply plantation models from other jurisdictions to ours. And in the attempt to achieve this goal that comes out of nowhere, you continuously breach our constitutionally guaranteed rights and our inalienable human rights.
Anyway, we're about to transition. Thank you very much for the day. But I see this person is calling about the Commercial Driver's License Act. Say, blessing CA and Aaron, if this commercial driver's license being required is true or for real, for as simple as a lunch vendor to pull a tiny hot dog stand or for others folks to pull their little trailer, that is a bunch of stupid baloney. How is the little gardener or landscaper or little, where is it? Pulley, something. Anyway, it went on. Anyway, but my point is, just go get your commercial driver's license. I'm not sure how much it is. They need to say the price on how you do it, but just go get it.
Were you learning this plantation? Good, good, good.
Just go and get it, man. Stop complaining. Anyway, God in Rain AM with CA Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.